From the Lend Grant University in Urbana, Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 22nd day of July, 2026. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Greg Johnson. He's at TGM. I'll update you on the latest agricultural news for the afternoon, including staffing reductions at your local NRCS or Natural Resources Conservation Service offices. And then we'll turn our attention to the weather forecast. We'll talk with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City during this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media, online, on demand at WILLAG.org.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
December corn for the day finished at $4.84¾, 9½ higher. The March at $5.25, up 9¼. The old crop, by the way, 9¼ higher as well. It finished at $4.62 in the September. The soybeans in the September at $12.26, 15½ higher. November, $12.39, new crop up 16¼. Bean meal, $4.90 higher. The bean oil up $1.18. Soft red winter wheat for December at $7.22¾, a gain of 26¾ cents. The hard red December at $7.79, up 29½ cents. Live cattle futures, $4.25 lower. Lean hogs up 22½ cents. And the feeder cattle, $8.77½ lower. Crude oil for the day, up $2.60 a barrel. The price of gasoline on the wholesale, $0.015 higher at $3.24¢ for the day. Natural gas, up 7 cents at $2.99¢ on this Wednesday afternoon. Greg Johnson from TGM Total Grain Marketing now joins us from the elevator right here in Champaign County. Hello, Greg. Thanks for being with us.
Good to be with you.
So producers are thinking today is a good day to make some additional cash sales?
Producers in central Illinois, anyway. We've had plenty of rain. The crops look good. Pollination has been taking place the last week or 10 days. We should finish up pollination sometime early next week, and the temperatures are supposed to be on the cool side for the next 5 days. So yeah, most of the corn's going to pollinate in good shape. And so farmers, once they feel confident that they're going to have something to sell, are a lot more willing to sell into rallies like we're seeing here this week. So yes, we've been buying a fair amount of new crop corn, beans, and wheat on this rally here. And I understand if you're in South Dakota or somewhere where it's dry and hot and you haven't had much rain, it's a little bit harder to pull the trigger. But here in central Illinois, it sure looks like we're going to have something to sell this fall. And beans have rallied over $1.50, and corn has rallied 55, 60 cents. We're not back to the old highs yet. Beans are making new contract highs today. Corn isn't, but wheat is almost as high as it's been in quite some time. So yeah, farmers are taking advantage of that rally here in central Illinois.
The rally in corn seems to have been a bit lackluster. Certainly wheat is leading today, but it appears to me that soybeans have been really in the driver's seat. Why do you think that's been the case?
I think the soybeans are the leader for a couple of reasons. One, the domestic crush numbers just continue to be record amounts due to the renewable biodiesel demand. I know we're not expanding at a fast enough clip for some people, but we are basically a constant, that's a constant number month after month. And then if you throw in the export business, and there's some talk that China has been buying some beans on the open market, not a lot, a few boatloads here and a few boatloads there, but there is some talk, some concern that if China would buy more than what the USDA has penciled in, that we could see a very, very tight carryout. I mean, if you're looking at using the USDA's numbers of 85.4 million acres planted, if and I've lowered the yield by a bushel from 53 to 52, not a disaster, but I think if you just take it a bushel off, that gives you a 4.4 billion bushel bean supply, and demand is 4.5. So that cuts the carryout by 100 million bushels, and the carryout is already a very snug 310. So that gets it down to 210, and that's kind of the the area where we ration anything below 300 million, we ration. So you got to keep the price relatively high to ration that export demand.
Are U.S. soybeans competitive on the world market at this point?
They aren't at this point, but if once Brazil runs out of beans, we're basically the only game in town. And so then we would expect export business to pick back up again. So as of today, no, but we don't have to necessarily sell beans today. Once Brazil runs out, hopefully we'll have that market to ourselves in that August, September, October timeframe.
While this is a bit fuzzy, it would seem that the issue may be that the Chinese are willing to pay a premium for soybeans out of the United States at this point for political purposes. The fear would be that the Brazilians will react and plant more acreage of soybeans in what would be our fall and their spring, the months of September, October, and November.
But believe it or not, there's stories out of Brazil that due to the higher input costs, which we know full well about here in the United States, that they might, this might be the first year in over 25 years where they plant less beans than they did before. Almost every year they're bringing on another 500,000 to 1.5 million acres of production, and they could very easily do that again this year if the prices encourage farmers to do that. But with the prices where they were a month or two ago, and the higher input costs, there was some concern, some talk that soybean acres in Brazil could be unchanged to lower, not higher. So, that's definitely, that was a month ago. Now, bean prices have rallied since then, so maybe Brazil will expand acres once again. We'll have to wait and see, but that's certainly the concern right now.
Now turn your attention to the wheat market. It is the leader for the day.
Yeah, the wheat market is really leading along with soybeans. The wheat market is very strong because Ukraine has bombed some of the Russian export facilities, and the Russians have bombed Odessa, which is a Ukraine export facility. So very little wheat is being moved out of the Black Sea area right now. And so if you need to buy wheat this week or next week, the United States is probably the most reliable supplier of that wheat. And the funds were extremely short wheat. They got caught on the wrong side of the Black Sea conflict. So they're buying in the process of buying back their short position. So I think you've got a combination of replacement bushels coming out of the Black Sea, into the U.S., along with the funds being short as the main driver for why wheat is strong. And that's a little bit of wheat spillover into the corn. And then soybeans are rallying because of, number one, dry weather. Number two, possible demand from China. Who knows? That's the wild card. And number three, just higher energy prices in general are supporting the soybean oil prices.
The things to watch then, of course, are the weather. That's usual for the summertime. And then the potential escalation or continued escalation of the war footing in both the Middle East and the Black Sea. It is a very difficult market to navigate at this time.
It reminds me of when the Russian-Ukraine war started over, 5 years, almost 5 years now. The very first week, we were very concerned that wheat would not be able to get out of Ukraine, and wheat prices really rallied. Well, if you get the price high enough, people figure out a way to get it from point A to point B. And that, in back then, Ukraine started railing wheat over to the West and exporting it out of Poland. And so it was able to get into the world market. So I know things don't look good right now in Odessa and in some of the Russian ports, but given a high enough price, I have a feeling they'll figure out a way to get it out of the Black Sea area and get that back into the Middle East.
When you picked up the phone today, what is it the producers are mostly asking?
Well, they're asking how high is this going to go? And I try to tell them that's the wrong question to ask because we don't know the answer to that. The question to ask is, can I make money? Is this a profitable level to sell at? And a month ago, when corn prices were below $4 cash, the answer was no, we can't make money. Now, all of a sudden, cash corn is $4.50. Old crop corn is $4.60, but new crop corn right out of the field is $4.50. Can farmers make money at that price? It's close. I think maybe it works. Maybe it doesn't for some. But for soybeans at $12 cash, and we're well over $12 cash today, the answer is yes. So even if beans do go to $13, and they could, but they could go to $11 also, the question I think farmers need to ask themselves is, can I make money selling $12 beans and $4.50 corn? And if the answer is yes, we probably need to get a little bit sold. And I think around here, with the weather looking as good as it does, the crops looking as good as they do, I think farmers are more willing to reward this rally and sell a little bit of that potential new crop.
Thank you much, Greg, and I look forward to talking with you for Commodity Week tomorrow afternoon.
Looking forward to it. Thanks, Todd.
Greg Johnson is with TGM, that's TotalGrainMarketing.com, right here in Champaign County, Illinois. You may hear him again on our website in the Closing Market Report at willag.org, willag.org, or by searching out our podcast, The Closing Market Report, by name in your favorite podcast applications. In today's agricultural news, nearly half of Illinois counties have fewer local staff to help farmers with soil and water conservation efforts. IPM's Abigail Botar reports that's after cuts to the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
Champaign County lost the most Natural Resources Conservation Service staff in the state last year, partly because the county also houses the agency's state office. 17 counties lost at least half of their conservation staff, and 7 lost all of those employees. The NRCS works with farmers on programs that allow growers to take a risk on a conservation method that may not pay off immediately. Steve Steerwalt is chair of the Champaign County Soil and Water Conservation District. He says without NRCS programs, farmers lose the incentive to try new practices.
So often when the cost share goes away, the practice goes away.
Nationally, the NRCS lost 22% of its staff last year. The USDA did not respond to a request for comment. I'm Abigail Botar, IPM News.
Let's stay with Trump administration policies. From USDA's cost cutting, we'll move to the Supreme Court, which ruled 6-3 that President Trump exceeded his authority by using the International Emergency Economic Powers Act, or IEEPA, to impose broad worldwide tariffs last year. But tariffs continue to grab trade headlines. Mike Davis has more.
Ben Moline, Vice President of Research at the Federal Reserve Bank of Minneapolis, says tariffs have been and continue to be a favorite bargaining chip of the president.
Tariffs? Which really is a continuation of a big theme from last year. So spring of 2025, seeing Liberation Day, and even before that, tariffs on Mexico, Canada, and China being introduced. Activities this year have been the Supreme Court striking down some of those tariffs, temporary tariffs being put into place that last through this month. And now this month, some questions about what will come next.
But even with some tariffs set to expire soon, Moline says more could be on the way.
New tariffs based on so-called Section 301 investigations are expected to be announced later this month or early next month. And so the question is, how will they affect the average effective tariff rate that the economy is facing, if any? What exemptions will be in place and so on? So we could see maybe a slight bump up in tariff rates, or actually, even in a cut from the tariff rates that we're facing today.
Section 301 tariffs are trade penalties imposed under the Trade Act of 1974, which allows the U.S. Trade Representative to investigate and respond to unfair trade practices by other countries. The announcement of those tariffs is expected soon. I'm Mike Davis.
The use of Section 301 by the Trump administration has been expected since the Supreme Court made its decision. However, the use of the Smoot-Hawley Act of 1930, or Section 338, which is what the Trump administration has used this week to impose a 50% tariff on some goods entering the United States from Canada, was not expected. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Wednesday afternoon. Our theme music is written, performed, produced, and courtesy of Logan County, Illinois farmer Tim Gleason. We're now joined by Drew Lerner. He is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City to help us take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Hi, Drew. It's a magnificent day in East Central Illinois. Is it a bit warmer where you are?
Well, it is a bit warmer. Our break from the heat is going to be a little bit more brief than yours. But hey, we're celebrating last night. Low humidity, light winds. It was a dream. But it'll all be back, tomorrow afternoon more? I guess it'll probably be Friday. So, and it will push a little bit of it your way, but it's all going to be about the plains, I think.
Let's begin in the eastern Corn Belt, and then we'll work our way clockwise. Start with Ohio, Indiana, and Illinois, please.
Yeah, you know, for the most part, it looks pretty good. I mean, you have to look at the calendar first. You know, here we are, the 22nd of July. And the temperatures are in the 70s across a big part of the Midwest for today and tomorrow, just slightly warmer after that. You can't do better than that, especially with the warm and humid conditions we had not too long ago. So this is a nice break for the crop. Precipitation will continue to scatter in and out of these areas. I think we'll maintain status quo on the moisture profile. We might even increase it in a few spots. There's a few areas that have seen some drying in the tops over the subsoil, and moisture profile is still good. So for the eastern Corn Belt, I really think this looks pretty good for right now.
Let's work our way now west of the Mississippi River. Begin with Iowa and move through Minnesota and maybe the Dakotas.
Yeah, I think Iowa is certainly in a fairly good position right now. If you recall back, I think we have to go a couple of weeks back. We had this big rain event. It may have been 2 or 3 weeks back, but they had that big soaking rain over a weekend, and it really bolstered the moisture profile across a big part of the state. But not everybody. Some areas in the West didn't do quite so well. And we kind of did that again this past weekend with central and eastern Iowa doing fairly well with rain again. And so that's left the moisture profile in those areas looking pretty darn good. Now, western Iowa is a little bit different. There is a little bit more dryness out that way. And everyone is focused on these scattered thunderstorms that are advertised to occur now over these next 2 to 3 nights. Coming out of South Dakota and parts of Nebraska and working their way into southwestern Iowa and Missouri and ultimately into Illinois. And this will be very important, I think, for those areas that I just mentioned in western Iowa in particular that have been dry, but Nebraska too. And the amount of rain that falls is going to, you know, have a big impact on where we go with crops in those areas because of the drier bias that we do have right now. So a close watch. Maybe we can do better than anticipated with some of the rain. It looks a bit erratic to me, but I do think there will be some counties in western and especially southwestern Iowa and Nebraska that will see some 1 to 2 inch amounts. Now, Minnesota probably will be left out of this particular round of showers and thunderstorms, and it may be difficult to get good rain up that way for a while. Same thing can be said about parts of Wisconsin. So we could go a week to week and a half without more than maybe a couple tenths to three quarters of an inch of rain, and it'll be warm up enough up that way that we'll probably evaporate that moisture out. So probably status quo or maybe even drier than they are right now.
Let's continue working our way clockwise through the growing regions of the United States. Start with Minnesota and North Dakota, maybe Montana, and the spring wheat growing regions, really.
Yes, you know, two weekends ago, we had that 115-degree temperature in eastern Montana and widespread 100s in Montana and the western Dakotas, and that was kind of the beginning of the trouble. It really hasn't rained much since then. We have had some brief periods of cooler air, but this coming Friday and Saturday, we're going to get the temperatures back up way over 100 again in that area. The moisture profile is the pits now, and the crops are stressed. I think the spring wheat ratings have been down for a while, and we're going to see that spread to all the other crops in the region. So this is mostly a Montana, North Dakota, and northern South Dakota issue at the moment. To the north, across Canada, we do have quite a contrast in the prairies. It's actually still a bit wet in the far northern parts of the prairies, but in the south, they're kind of hung up in this hot, dry scenario like Montana and southern Alberta and central through southwest and south central Saskatchewan. are also drying out quickly. Now, the difference between Canada and the Northwest U.S. plains is that the Canadian prairies have better subsoil moisture, and crops are probably hanging on fairly well, but they too will go without rain for 10 days, and it will be warm biased. And so by the time we're done with 10 days, I'm afraid the Canadian prairies will be stressed enough that their yield potentials will be slipping lower too, and that'll be spring wheat and canola, maybe a little bit of corn and some soybeans. Most of the soybeans are farther to the east. I don't think they will be seriously impacted in Canada, but of course we've got to watch Minnesota and the eastern Dakotas.
Will the temperatures throughout the beef-producing areas of the Plain States be really hot over the coming week or so?
Yes, I think so. And it's not just the, you know, a day or two. It's going to be rather persistent, especially in the central and southwest U.S. plains in that most important livestock area. I do see temperatures of 100 to 108 degrees occurring almost every day from now all the way through the end of next week. And if that happens, the weight gains are going to be pretty poor, and we're probably going to see a little bit of illness for some of those animals out there. A close watch on that situation is probably warranted. The northern plains cattle country will also experience some of this, especially in Montana and the western Dakotas, because we do expect those temperatures back, you know, in that 100 to 110 degree range, but only for a day or two. The temperatures in the northern plains will be more 90s and a few readings over 100, but that's still stressful for some of those animals, but it'll be worse in the southern plains, I think.
Finally, let's close our clockwise loop through the middle part of the United States and its growing regions by taking a look at the Delta.
Yeah, the Delta is an area that is drying out right now. Interesting enough, that is very much associated with the 18-year cycle that we talk about periodically. That was an area that was expected to be drier biased during the summer this year, along with eastern Texas and Oklahoma, and that's exactly what's happening right now. So confidence is pretty high that trend will stay in place. Tropical Storm Bertha is actually helping to reinforce that whole scenario by hogging all of the moisture from the Gulf of America and keeping it from moving northward. And so for the next several days, that will add into the high pressure that's already suppressing the rain in the Delta. So for a while, we're going to see crop deterioration there as well. And they will see temperatures in the 90s to near 100 during a fair amount of this coming week as well.
Thank you much, Drew. I really appreciate you joining us.
You bet. Have a good day.
You too. That's Drew Lerner. He is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Joined us on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report that comes to you from Illinois Public Media. Do visit our website. The address is WILLAG.org. Not only will you find our daily radio program in its entirety there, you'll also find information from the agricultural economist, the crop scientist, as well as the animal scientist from right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois, and a calendar that's full of our events for the summer meeting season. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.